I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today is from the book of Luke, chapter 3, 15 through 17, and then 21 through 22. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Donna. Appreciate the reading. This scripture speaks to us in many, many ways. And the more you read it, I think the more you can get out of it. But I want you to think about some things that really stand out to me, and I would hope stand out to you. And one of those things might be that they're questioning in their hearts. They're questioning. What are they questioning? Well, they kind of make that clear to us, that they're questioning whether or not John the Baptist is the Messiah. Of course, it could be that it caught your attention that he talked about baptism with water versus baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire. Oftentimes, we leave out the fire part and we say the Holy Spirit, but Scripture says the Holy Spirit and fire. Then again, maybe what caught your attention is to clear his threshing floor. That catches attention for a lot of people. And then again, you have verse 21, all people were baptized, and then Jesus was baptized. What part of that strikes you? Whatever caught your attention, it calls into question what the expectations are. Expectations are really important. If you come to this service today and you're thinking, my expectation is I'm going to be bored to death with the service, that's probably what you're going to get out of it. If you come with the expectation, I'm going to go to the potluck after this, but I'm not going to go to any committee. I'm not going to let anyone talk me into it. I'm not going to do it. You'll get what you want. Because expectations dictate our lives. Think about it. Expectations are very, very important. I might also point out that John the Baptist does say in here that he is the lesser of the two of them, him and Jesus. So his expectation is that Jesus is the Messiah and that he's not even worthy to tie his thong. Now I got to ask you, if you were the follower of John the Baptist and you heard him preach and teach, would you think of him as a Messiah or as a great prophet? Because see, prophets are very important in Scripture. How many prophets do we have that wrote books in our Bible? I'm not going to call on you, Terry. Although I don't think you know, but that's okay. I want you to think about this. 12 minor prophets: Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And then you have the three major prophets. I know all of you know them: Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah. But those are books. Look through your scripture. Do you remember one called Elijah? Elisha? Samuel? Nathan? Prophets are replete in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, what we see is John the Baptist. And what we're told is that John the Baptist was seen as the last of the Old Testament prophets. That is that transition. Okay, we've got John the Baptist. Jesus has taken over. All those prophets, including John the Baptist, pale and go back into Old Testament history. Here's the thing, the Bible categorizes people. For example, David was the greatest king in our scripture. We're told that. He wasn't a prophet, he wasn't a judge, he wasn't a patriarch, he was a king. But then we move along and we find there's Samson, he's a judge. We have Abraham, he's a patriarch. Don't call him a prophet. Categorizing. But then there's this weird thing that happens in this scripture that was just read by Donna. What is Jesus? Prophet? Patriarch? Judge? What is Jesus? Because whatever he is, everyone else just went to the back. They're all in the back. We got Jesus now. Well, we're told that Jesus felt it was necessary to be baptized with water. And why is that? When John the Baptist says that Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, we see Jesus going to be baptized by water. I want you to hear this story. This is a story about Paul Harvey. How many of you know who Paul Harvey is? Tell me that you do, because he was pretty famous. Paul Harvey wrote about his own baptism. He said, even though he had received almost every reward in broadcasting, he still felt empty inside. One summer, however, he and his wife were vacationing in a place called Cave Creek, Arizona. I've actually been there. Sunday morning came and they decided to go to church, so they went to this little church and there were only 12 other people in the church. He believed in God, but he had never gone forward in a church service. One night he prayed in his hotel room and asked the Lord to come into his heart, but he felt there was still something missing. He said the preacher got up and announced he was going to do a sermon on baptism. Paul Harvey, these are his words, said, "I yawned. But as he started talking about it, I found myself interested. He talked about the symbolism behind it and how it symbolized the complete surrender of one's life to the Lord and how there was nothing really magic in the water. But there was this cleansing inside that took place when you yielded yourself to the Lord." He went on to say, finally, when he came to the end of his sermon, "Paul Harvey, if any of you have not been baptized in this way," Harvey talking about the preacher. Preacher says, "If any of you have not been baptized in this way, I invite you to come forward and join me here at the pulpit." To my surprise, I found myself going forward. The preacher had said there was nothing magic in the water. Yet as I descended into the depths and rose again, I knew something life-changing had happened. A cleansing inside out. No longer did there seem to be two uncertain, contradictory Paul Harveys, just one immensely happy one. I felt the fulfilling surge of the Holy Spirit in my life. Paul Harvey concluded, "The change is simple, a simple act made in my life that is so immense as to be indescribable. Since totally yielding to him in baptism, my heart can't stop singing. Also, perhaps because baptism is such a public act and because one's dignity gets drenched as one's body, I discovered a new unself-consciousness in talking about my beliefs." Paul Harvey swam in the river of God's grace. If you come and you're baptized, and I would imagine most of you have been, if not all of you have been baptized, what was your expectation? When you were baptized, did you think, once I'm baptized, all my problems will go away? When you were baptized, did you think there would no longer be trouble in life? Prophets came to tell people what to expect of God. Good, bad, or indifferent, they came. Some were killed or punished for not being positive in their message. Jesus told us the truth. He said, your problems aren't going to go away. The difference is I'm going to be there when you have them, if you surrender yourself to me. John the Baptist came with a message filled with expectations. Not everyone liked the message that he delivered. Those who were wise enough were filled with expectation. When you were baptized, and I want you to think about this seriously, what did you expect? Were you disappointed? It wasn't what you thought it would be? Or are you like Paul Harvey and your heart couldn't stop singing because you knew you'd been cleansed inside and out? Did you question in your heart what the act of being baptized even meant? Jesus, having heard John's message, walked right up to be baptized, literally in front of God and everybody. What do you think Jesus expected? When John the Baptist said, I can't do this, Jesus said, let it be so for now. I think we would be on solid ground if we were to say Jesus did not expect all his troubles to go away. I think he had a little different expectation. Or if we said he was not disappointed, his life didn't become easy. He knew it wasn't going to be easy. He was a living example of what life really is. You see, our expectations when we were baptized or anything else that we do in life can set us up for disappointment, even failure. If your expectation is, I'm going to come to the Sunday service and Terry's going to get up there and pray, and after that prayer, boy, everything's going to be great. Not going to happen. Now, I know many of you come and you say, well, if I hear Wes's sermon, life's going to get better. But, you know, I'm not going to comment on that one. But expecting the world to treat you fairly because you're a good person is a little like expecting a lion not to attack you because you're a vegetarian. What does that have to do with it? All too often, those who turn their lives over to Christ expect life to be a rose garden. And then they're sorely disappointed when it doesn't change. Expectations. I'm going to tell you a little story about my family. In my family, everyone, up until my dad, lived into their mid to late 80s. They just did. My great-grandmother was 107. So we just all assumed that we're going to live into our mid-80s and possibly even into 100. And we're rocking along. There was no history of cancer in our family. Then my dad got prostate cancer. He died when he was 67 years old, and our family was shocked because our expectations were, we're all going to live a long life. We didn't stop to think about what we eat or drink or if we smoke or any of that, because we're going to live a long life. And that didn't happen. Not for my dad. Since then, my brother at the age of 57 had a heart attack. And then when he turned 61, they told him he had prostate cancer like my dad. Good news is they got it early and he has no cancer right now. Point being, our expectations set us up. If you're going through life and you're just expecting everything to be roses, you can't count on that. Look around you. So many people fall away from the church when their expectations are not met. People come to church and they say, well, this is what I expected. And I didn't get it, so I'm not going to go back to church. I expect church to be a certain way. I expect Sunday school to be a certain way. I expect the minister to do a certain thing. Whatever that is, your expectations can set you up. What if your expectation is, I'm just going to love the Lord. And I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to do what I can. And I'm going to be a part of the body of Christ and contribute. It doesn't matter what anyone else does. That's what I'm going to do. We've seen people get their feelings hurt, get disappointed, Things like that happen. Sometimes people, believe it or not, for those of you who try to avoid committee, some people get upset because they don't get chosen for a committee. Our lives in large part are driven by expectations. Whether it be our homes, our workplace, or our social circles, we live on expectations. We see this in our scripture today. The people were filled with expectation. Did they have their expectations met? Do you believe the people who were there that day had their expectations met? Okay. If you do, then let me share this with you. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted out together, "Away with this fellow, release Barabbas for us." This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. I'm going to ask you again, the people who were at the baptism, the people who followed Jesus, the people who raised the palm leaves as he came into Jerusalem, were their expectations met? No. So what do? They turn on Jesus. He wasn't what he wanted him to be. They said, "He's not who we thought he was. We thought he was going to sit on the throne of David. We thought he was that Messiah." They didn't get it. They didn't get it. And so Jesus, that they found no wrong in him, is crucified. Curious, do we see that in the church? People get crucified. The people who were baptized and witnessed the baptism of Jesus did not come to the rescue. Nowhere do we read, "I saw the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove." Don't do this. No one said that. The people who waved the palm leaves as he entered Jerusalem, which we'll celebrate on Palm Sunday, not one of them said, "No, don't do it." It says, as one voice, "Crucifying." Where were they? I'll tell you where they were. They were sulking because Jesus did not meet their expectations. He wasn't supposed to be crucified. He wasn't supposed to get in trouble. And because he did, we turn on him. The expectation of being another King David, the expectation that he would save himself, didn't happen. Had they expected someone to die for their sins, or offer freely the forgiveness of God, or teach them how to live a better life, then perhaps they would not have been disappointed. That's what he taught. Why did they turn on him? But they wanted a superhero, the be-all and end-all, another David. Sadly, they had someone better in their midst and rejected him because he wasn't who they wanted him to be. As a Christian, as a person of God, what are your expectations? Are you disappointed? Are you one who has or will reject Jesus when the day comes because it's just not what you expected? Of all people, let me invoke the words of the Rolling Stones. No, you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. And John the Baptist introduced the people to someone they needed. Jesus was that person. I'm giving you what you need. Not what you want. Not your expectations of another David. If you look sometime, you just might find you get what you need. Do you believe that God sent His only Son to die on a cross? Because if you don't believe that, it's going to be really hard to believe anything else. Trust that God knows what we need. We're starting a new year, 2019. We've already picked our committee people. We've already had the chairs of those committees, our officers. Jack spoke to the people yesterday when we had the training. We laid out our expectations. And our expectation is that these people are going to take initiative and they're going to come up with new things, new ways to bring our church into the 21st century, to make our church interesting to people in the community, to make our church stronger in its ministries. How many of us are going to say, well, but we haven't done that before? You know what? We've always done it this way. And this way, as the old saying goes, how's that working for you? We're going to grow. We're going to do great. And I'm telling you why we're going to do great this year. Because our expectations are going to be high. Our expectation is we can make this an even better church than it already is. Our expectation is we can bring new people in. Our expectation is we're going to pull together and do the ministry of Jesus Christ. And if we have that expectation, it will happen. Isn't that right, Jack? Right, Terry? I think Terry tells the people at Bright all the time, our expectation has to be that we're going to have a broader ministry and reach out to people. We're going to grow as a seminary. Expectations. When we adjourn from here to go over there and eat, please don't run and hide. Be out there. Let people see you. Be proud and have expectations of growth. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you this day, we know all too often our expectations are either too high or too low. May our expectation be that we see your Son as our leader, as the one who fills us with all spiritual benediction, as the one who tells us, go forth, make disciples of all nations. If our expectation is to serve, we will be successful, and we give you thanks and praise that your Son taught us how to serve. Be with us and guide us, for we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.